And I knew not to drink the free beer for the luncheon. I knew it. I did not want to do that. And so I didn't drink for that hour, which was a deal. But I made up for it for the next 3 days. Right? Treating myself for what a great job I did and not drinking for that hour. Well, when it all come down, and it was the lowest day of my life, and I'm really busted, and I go to, I'm 3 days, I'm just depressed and in my bed, and I finally, like, I've got to get on with my life. I had picked up the phone, I had had the yellow pages, and I tried to call AA, and I could not dial the number. I threw the phone down, I hucked the yellow pages across the wall, and I went back to bed. Finally, 3 days later, I get up, I go to class, which apparently I had attended a class I didn't even have. I didn't know it until later. But so I go into this class, and I'm walking up this spiral staircase, and I hear this voice, "Hey, big guy, how's it going?" And I literally have to look up and over, and it's that guy, Eric, standing at the top of the stairs. And I said, "Things are not going well at all. I mean, it's bad." I didn't tell him I'd been thinking about killing myself all weekend because I couldn't control myself and I was afraid I couldn't drink and I couldn't not drink and I didn't know what to do, and I'd spent some time in a park and I'd gotten on my knees and I said, "God, please help me." And I didn't say, "God, please help me stop drinking," because I didn't even understand that was my problem. I just said, "God, please help me because I can't go on another minute like I'm living. I can't drink, I can't not drink, and I don't know what to do." And I laid in bed for 3 days, and the first guy I ran into was this guy, Eric, who had 60 days, a meeting schedule, and a car. And he reached out to me, and he said, "How's it going?" I said, "Not so good." And he said, "Are you going to one of those meetings?" He said, "I'm going to it tonight." I said, "Would you take me?" He said, "Yeah." That was November 6, 1988, and I haven't drank since. I've seen people here that are 16 years old, 20 years old. And I tell you, a lot happens between 21 and 44. A lot happens. And one of the things that happened was I remember 6 months into the deal watching a guy get a 24-year cake, sitting there thinking, what would it be like? What would my life be like? I remember distinctly, what would my life be like if I was 20 years sober? I'd be 42. What would that be like? And, if I had written it down and did my dream sheet, not in a million years would I ever imagine that I'd have a career that I love, that I'd have a partnership with my boyfriend that I love, that I would have friends and family connections that I love, but mostly that all the judgment, all the condemnation, all that constant running of my mind, to be free of that. To be free. To be able to look people in the eye instead of looking at their shoes. To not wake up with a row of crows on my bed. I had so much that I couldn't have dreamed of because I didn't even knew it was existed. How do you tell someone to write down your... You don't know. You have no idea. But this is the great thing. The day I got my 20-year chip, my mom had come in, I threw myself a party. I had a friend fly out from France to come to my party. Yeah, I'm Francie. So, that morning, I'm sitting in the meeting waiting for my token, and I start thinking about that when I was 22, and when I was thinking about that guy getting the cake, and all of a sudden it dawned on me, if I stay sober 20 years, I'll be 62. What would my life be like? I have no idea. I couldn't imagine. But what I do know is I've never, ever seen anybody stay sober and regret it. And I can tell you, I've sponsored a lot of people and have been to lots of meetings where people come back, and I'm grateful they're there, and they're grateful they're there, but they sure didn't have a good time while they were out. So on behalf of, I guess the thing for me is that to give back a fraction of what was given to me for so long, free. People coming up, and I'll end with this, because it really is this. People said, we'll love you till you can love yourself. And I go to these meetings, in Detroit even. They even say that there. We'll love you till you can love yourself. I'm 6 months sober. I'm crazy. I'm hanging out with bulimic teenage girls and 80-year-old ladies. That's my crowd. I'd gone to a meeting, this men's meeting in Indianapolis called the Cold Nickel Group, and it's still there. I actually got an email from a guy who's, they just put on a speaker thing, a 3-day thing, but the Cold Nickel Group at that time, Wednesday meeting, and I'm at this meeting, and this old timer at the end of the meeting, like any newcomer, I throw my hands down, I start running for the door, and this old guy just steps in front of me, and he says, "You're new here, aren't you?" Yeah, I'm like, "Yeah, I'm new." And he says, "You know the name of this group?" I said, "No, I don't know the name of the group." He goes, "This group is the Cold Nickel Group of Alcoholics Anonymous." Okay, old man, I don't care what the name of the group is. I just want to go. I have a coffee and cigarette outside. Don't leave me alone. He said, "Do you know why this group?" And old people are slow. Old people in AA are intentionally slow. So he says, "You know why this meeting's called the Cold Nickel Group Alcoholics Anonymous?" And at this point, I had surrendered that moment. I said, "No, I do not know. Why is this meeting called the Cold Nickel Group?" He said, "Because Alcoholics Anonymous is the million-dollar education shoved up your ass, one cold nickel at a time." And then he stepped aside. So I'm in this clubhouse in Detroit, and this whole thing, "Oh, we'll love you till you can love yourself." And I'm like, what is that, you know, stick that in your ear. What does that even mean? "We love you." I don't want you to love me. I don't want you. We'll give you the dignity you deserve till you can give that dignity to yourself. We'll hang out with you. We'll feed you till you can feed yourself. We'll be with you till you can be with yourself. That's what AA gave me and has given me every single day. And I was in that same clubhouse. I'm walking down the hall, and this big lady with a big flowery dress and a big floppy hat and the big purse and the big book in it, and you know her. She's here. She's everywhere. Anytime you get 200 of them together is one of them. "I'm Betty, and I'm a miracle today, and you're a miracle." And I was just like, frozen, just like, "Oh, don't touch me, don't hug me, don't see, it's weird, don't see me until I'm ready to, do something, and then hi." Anyway, I'm frozen in the hallway. She's got her floppy hat and her perfume, and she says, and she's been around, she recognizes it. She stops. She just stops. She's like, "Oh, you're new." "I'm new. How'd you know?" She said, "Honey," she leans in real close. She goes, "Honey, I got good news and bad news. The good news is there's help, and the bad news is it's us." Larry, thank you. Thank you very much.